It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yes!
Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2023, season 18, episode number 100. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break, live in the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Start, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. I see a lot of looks of, wow, we made it to 100 shows. Yes, it's the 100th episode of The Break here in season number 18. We are legal. All right, we got a lot we're going to talk about today. We got a roster move
there.
We got a roster move. We got some injury updates. We're going to get into the Washington offense versus the Dallas defense. We might even get to some fan questions here in the final segment of The Break. Let's start first with the roster move. Cowboys release wide receiver James Washington. Why did this free agent acquisition fail?
Because he got hurt in OTAs and mini camps, and they really couldn't see him there. They had an idea of what the player could be. You know, the last part of his career at Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, we kind of know that game wasn't going down the field. He wasn't as accurate. You know, they were all those receivers in Pittsburgh who initially we were like, wow, look at this group, Claypool, look at all these guys. I mean, they're all good players. And then the quarterback just goes off the cliff. And then they had their situation where the young quarterbacks just weren't ready to play. So now he transfers to Dallas. The OTAs, minicamp, we're all watching practice. We're all looking. We're all taking notes, you know, getting our stories ready. He never practices. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, well, let's see what happens at training camp. And then he gets there. First practice, we're all standing along the fence, gets hurt again, you know. And so now you're sitting there going, well, people develop. I mean, you get guys. I mean, they were chasing a receiver. I mean, we sit there and, you know, show 91, 92, 93, 94 were about Odell Beckham. You know, we were talking about that. And so they were chasing wide receivers. And, you know, he was a guy that they just really didn't have a clear understanding of what he could do. Put him out there a couple of times, and they got better players that can play. And that's why you move on.
Yeah, even from practice. I mean, the times I personally watched, he never really stood out or did anything that really was good enough to get him. And even the time that we were waiting, okay, finally we're going to see him, what he can do on the field when they play him. He only got one. They only targeted him once, and it was a drop. So then that was disappointing. But he just never got to become, like Brian said, got to develop into that guy that even coming out of college, he was apparently pretty good. I never really saw him play. I saw highlights when they got him here, but a very talented guy in college. But it just, even then, it just didn't translate to what the Cowboys were looking and needing at the time. He wasn't able to step up.
Does it all make you nervous that when you look at that, obviously you still got games to go through in the playoffs, hopefully multiple games, and you never know what happens with injuries. Does it make you nervous that maybe they should have held on to him just to have the extra body in the event you need him due to injury?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that, but I think this game, when they realize that, you know, they're going to have to play it, they're playing this game, and from the injury standpoint, there's more guys that you need to kind of, you know, maneuver around and you kind of with the roster and from the practice squad moving up, and you've got injuries, you're just going to have to kind of mess with the roster. And so you got a veteran receiver who's not really playing special teams, mm-hmm. and he's not really in the rotation. And T.Y. Hilton has definitely taken over that spot that it just didn't work.
I think, you know, Nick's right about this, though. You're running out of you know, I think that Washington was a guy initially that was here to protect yourself, and then all of a sudden you had guys that were that developed, and then you're starting to use these guys to play off the practice squad. You know, you're running out of, you're using all three of those elevations, mm-hmm. and now you're in a situation like, okay, you know, we've, depending on what you think about Turpin, you know, I mean, there's another receiver, you mm-hmm. know, you got Tolbert. I mean, I know if something were to happen, you probably really don't want to throw, throw him out there, but that's what you're going to have to do if you have an injury. But they've got these practice squad elevations, you know, they have to think about. They have to think about their center. You know, I think they've used all those for, you know, those guys and Shipley.
Shipley.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's a situation for 1 week you're going to have to.
And
but
to,
he
to
was
get it right, you can only use it three times.
Three
on
times.
One player.
Three times. Right. So, you know, you're now depending on, OK, what about Farniak? You know, OK, Farniak gets through this week and everything's cool. I felt like that Washington was the 53rd player. That's where I was. When you looked at the big picture of it, I'm like, okay, if they have to make a move to get somebody back on, James Washington's going to be the guy that's gone. Once they got T.Y. Hilton, once he was incorporated, once he started making plays, my need for the protection of James Washington is no longer here.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some injuries. I got some names I'm going to run down if you guys can give me kind of an update on where we are with them. Tony Pollard did not play last week. Where are we as far as his return?
He said after the game last week he was going to play, yeah. and I think that
you say he as in Tony.
Tony Pollard
okay.
said he would play. That don't always mean anything. players always think they're going to play, but I just get the sense we'll see what they do with practice. I mean, the whole schedule's upside down right now. But when Mike McCarthy talks, he might be answering that that question. But I think my gut is that he'll play.
Yeah, I think that they
at least for 12 yards.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that they need to get some things back going with this running game again. This is going to be a difficult team to run the ball against. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about their defense tomorrow. I mean, just watching them play the Browns and stuff like that, and a couple other games, there's some challenges up front. I think if he could play, they need to play him. You know, and see, because they're trying to figure out what's going on the right side of this offensive line with Martin and Smith. Is there a combination? Are you going to be able to read the blocks and stuff like that? I think you need some continuity going into the playoffs.
I have my graphic ready, so I hope he does play. The graphic has been sitting there for a couple of weeks waiting to go out. But I don't think they saw a need to really even risk it playing him. When you got a guy like Davis, he's done a good job.
Yes.
Running. They struggled overall last week. But what you've seen in the backup position behind the backup, which is, I mean, do you call Tony Pollard backup?
Co-starter.
Yeah, co-starter. There you go. No, but they just got three really good guys can do the job. So there was no need to kind of, which then makes me wonder if he does play because of that, because there's really no need to rush it.
Yeah. What are we hearing about Leighton Vander Esch?
I think that's playoffs. That's a playoff situation right there. I think there's a couple of guys that you're going to get back for the playoffs. Vander Esch, and I'm sure you're going to go into Hankins.
Yep, is next, yeah.
Yeah, Hankins. Those two, you can kind of put those together as playoff guys.
But we think in first playoff game, they're back, they're ready to go.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Tyler Biadasz.
That's one that's going to be very, very close. Very, very close. And
close as in this weekend close?
No. Close, no, it's like close playoffs. For the playoffs.
Playoffs, okay.
Yeah, close for the playoffs. They love the kid's toughness. They love everything about him. They love how hard he's going to work. He's going to do everything he can. They're worried about him having to take on one-on-one blocks. I was told one of the things for an offensive lineman that's hard to do if they have the high ankle is when you have to pass set mm-hmm. and then you have to anchor down on a guy and you have to push down on that foot and that ankle. That there's a lot of stress on that, and that's where when you get bull rushed, you know, especially the position he plays inside. He doesn't deal with light guys inside. He deals with heavy guys. And so that's a little bit of an issue that they're having to work through there. So I was told it's going to be tight. And I think that's why you're seeing this ramp up. Farniak was going to be a guy that was going to be his window was going to start this week regardless. I mean, it just happened that mm-hmm. you lose your center. Now you got, oh, wait, you got Farniak. Farniak sounds like he's ready to play. Are they going to play him or are they going to do what they do with all these injuries, these guys coming back? They give them a week, and then they get them ready for it. So I think Farniak is your ace in the hole if Biotish can't go against Tampa or Packers or whoever you play in that first round.
You know, when you think about from a roster standpoint, why cut James Washington? Why, you know, what did you need the spot for? Well, maybe so you could put Farniak on the roster when you know this week, and then you can still bring up, if you've got an offensive lineman, you can still bring up a lineman to add some depth and all that. You know, let's just see how you got to see how the game goes. Got to see how that game in Philadelphia is going at the same time. I mean, I'm not saying you don't rest, you're going to rest players, but if either one of the games gets out of hand, you might.
Yeah.
So, you know.
With everything you said, Brian, about the challenges of a high ankle when you're a center, it makes me think also the opponent might matter as to whether they think he's ready to go. If you're the fifth seed and you're going to Tampa and he's got to look at Vita Vea all day, that may be a situation you're like, I don't think he can hold up. That high ankle isn't going to hold up against that big dude and somebody with that kind of skill on top of his size. There's just a lot to that.
They really do think this guy's tough and he'll play through things, and they're not worried about that at all. But when I heard the word, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
That's when I started to kind of antennas come up.
You know, I'm anxious to see how this all plays out because Connor McGovern, I think, gives them a little bit more size there at center than if Peters is the guy. You say if Farniak's in there, then that changes some things. Because Farniak, remember, did play against Tampa.
He did.
Right? Week one. Or McGovern got hurt.
Yeah.
And then Farniak.
He played against when they played the Commanders. I went back and watched the game. He played in the Commanders game as well.
But against Tampa, the last two times they've played him, week one of the season this year and last year, size in the middle of the line. They couldn't run right up the middle. They had to try all this stuff.
Zach Martin was out the first time that you went to Tampa. Yeah.
So I think this could be a situation where your offensive line is bigger than it's ever been, stronger than it's ever been, and we'll see how it plays out. But if Peters is that guard or tackle and Tyler Smith's the guard, I do think you've got more strength going up against Tampa if that's who you face than you've had the last couple of years.
And that's also been, frankly, why I've been so shocked that the running game has been struggling here these last couple of weeks. Because my first thought, when they decided to bring Tyron back and put him on the right side, I'm thinking,
I'm embarrassed.
Road grade. Like, you should be running over people. And that just hasn't been the case.
I'm embarrassed to admit this, and I have all year. They miss Steele. They miss Steele in the running game. They really, really do. Because there's offensive linemen get accustomed to playing next to a guy. And that's why they always talk about continuity. Mm-hmm. That's why we say the same five. They always want you to play with the same five guys because what happens is you plug two Hall of Fame players next to each other and they haven't played next to each other. Never.
You
know, and that's what I'm saying. So all of a sudden, you know, Martin knew how Steele was going to come off the ball and be an athlete and work to his hip and then get up inside and turn. And then now you're really not. Here's Tyron like, okay, when I was on the other side, I used to do it this way. So there's some figuring out going on when you start to talk about combination blocks. You know, they'll tell you secure the down guy first and then get to the second level. You know, right now it's like they can't get the down guy secured, and now the second level guy is running over the top and making plays for 3 yards.
Well, I mean, just think about what happened in the game. I mean, you're saying that these two future Hall of Famers, as good as they are, they're still figuring out on that right side how to work together.
Yeah.
Then you get an injury in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
All three of the other spots change.
Yeah.
I mean, then Tyler Smith, left tackle, moves to guard. Peters comes in. The guard, everybody just slides to the right. And it's like
– slide to the right.
And then – then
it's like a wedding.
Right. Then you got these other things.
Exactly. I got the picture of Brian.
Yeah.
What wedding was that?
Rob Phillips.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got to tell that story sometime later, but go ahead, Nick.
Hey, poor Ambar.
Those gold plates. Yeah. Rob had those gold plates.
Those are called Chargers.
Chargers. Yeah. And Brian goes, hey, I just won Wimbledon.
Rob's like, Rob had a lot of invite them back to anything ever.
Rob had that open bar, and it kind of got to some people here on the program.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Go ahead, about Nick. Balance. All about balance. How many
drinks can you carry in one hand?
Wow.
I carry a lot, if you've noticed.
Good time. Word, where are we going with
that? I don't know. You got me.
What was the wedding? It was a slide to the right. Yeah. Yeah. We were sliding to the right.
You've changed so much about the offensive line. When we start talking continuity, that obviously is not what they have right now.
No, they don't. They really don't. They're trying their best to, you know, it's like, hey, plug in, do this and that, and you're feeling like, oh, hey, they'll be all right. And then you start to think, man, these cats haven't played with each other here. Yeah. You know, they haven't played in a game where they can they know their – you know, I mean, there's times – it's funny, I'm watching the games where I'm watching, like, with Zach Martin, and, you know, he always kind of kept an eye over on Steele. And he's still just out of habit. Like, he's keeping an eye on Tyron Smith, and I'm going – man, I mean, how you know, you get in such a habit of playing that, like, when you keep one hand here and you're looking, and then you let him go, and then, you know, he just goes, just punishes Tyron Smith's guy, you know. But that's what he used to do with Steele. So you get in that habit of, and he's probably thinking, why am I doing this? This guy over here is going to be fine. I need to worry about the center.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a little work with each other.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Washington offense versus Dallas defense. We'll do that in just a second. It's DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Enjoy premier dining, shopping experiences from over 20 restaurants, shops, and more at the Star District. Make sure to stop into the Star District's newest additions. Visit thestardistrict.com for the full directory.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by blockchain.com. Real quick, before we get into the Washington offense versus Dallas defense, I just saw online Mike McCarthy is doing his press conference right now. We are recording that. It'll be up on the website a little later. But he did make mention about James Washington. Said something interesting. He said, "I actually feel bad about James's opportunity here. Special teams plays a big part in these decisions." Could be one of those situations where, like you were talking about, maybe he doesn't play. Nick, you said he doesn't play special teams. Maybe it could even be the fact that you got another receiver out there who is playing special teams and returning quite well that you could throw in.
How
if
many
you
receivers? Yeah, how many receivers do you have that don't play special teams on this team? I mean, like if you think about it,
those top three,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this thing though came down to like what Brian said. I mean, you get hurt at the wrong time.
You get hurt at the wrong time, and
you know you don't miss games so much when you get hurt in the offseason. Yep. But it affects you when it's time to make decisions, and that's what happened. And you know,
but even then they held on to him a really long time. That surprised me the most is how, I mean, and you've been talking about it like, okay, we all knew they needed some extra help, and there were the whole Odell situation happening and lingering. But even then, prior to that, it was still, he was about to be ready, or maybe they even knew weeks before he started kind of filtering into the media.
No, you're absolutely right. We're all out there in Oxnard, and we're peppering Stephen Jones with these questions about adding a receiver, and he kind of knew where Gallup was in his rehab. So all of a sudden, and then it became, well, Gallup's back, and let's see what we got with Tolbert. Let's see, you know, there's all these things. And they just kept on and on and on waiting. And finally, it's like, you know, somebody, they probably went to Robert Prince, the receivers coach, and said, listen, we're thinking about moving on from James. And I'm like, well, James hasn't really helped us all that much this year. You know, and you mentioned the couple of games he got. You know, T.Y. Hilton in one game, all of a sudden our eyes go, whoa, James Washington, oh, did he play today?
Yeah.
How many snaps did he get?
To me, the guy that moved him ultimately off the roster was Noah Brown, because
in the offseason,
when he wasn't taking snaps, Noah Brown was, and he was getting a rapport with Dak and actually playing pretty well. And so when the season started, he did a nice job. He's had some games. You know, he's been up and down a little bit, but he's been, I think, for what you expect out of Noah Brown, I think he's been up more than down.
He was the guy for Andy Dalton. You didn't see much of Andy Dalton. I'm sorry.
I think he was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, right.
Andy Dalton was in my head because I think I saw a donation.
To
the fund that he made. So I guess his name was
Rush,
but Cooper Rush. He became the guy for him. You didn't see much of Michael Gallup. You didn't see much of CeeDee Lamb whatsoever. And Noah Brown became surprisingly very reliable to Cooper Rush and kind of the chemistry they've been building at practice.
You know, that's an interesting point, because when you think about it, I think I saw a lot of people this offseason who were not happy with the fact that the Cowboys didn't retain Cedric Wilson. And for what Cedric Wilson provided for this team, I think Noah Brown was equally as good at that role as Cedric Wilson was last year. So when you start thinking about what guys aren't here and what guys had to assume their roles, I think you would say, as a number one receiver, CD has stepped up to that. I think you'll say Noah Brown stepped up to the role that Cedric Wilson was before.
Right.
The question just is, has Michael Gallup been able to come back from injury and be who Michael Gallup really needs to be?
Yeah.
And I don't know that you've seen that consistently enough, but those other two, you feel pretty good about where you are right now with those.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is, with Noah Brown, they last year when Cedric Wilson was on this team, they tried Noah Brown first.
Yeah, they did.
They tried, and then Cedric Wilson kind of came along and started making plays. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, we really don't need Noah Brown anymore. We got Cedric Wilson to make these plays.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he finally my role last year was to do this. Oh, now I have to do this now. So he's done a good job. I mean, Noah Brown, I know there's been some plays, but there's also been some plays where you're like, you're damn glad you have the guy.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Noah Brown, you're not expecting for where he was drafted, for what he's been for this team throughout his career. If he were in here and he was perfect this year, that would be an anomaly. Yeah. You're not expecting him to be perfect. You're expecting him to contribute, and that's exactly what he's done. He's played the role of what he has to be. That's why he is the third receiver and not the top receiver on this team. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Washington offense versus the Dallas defense. Let's start first with those quarterbacks, because obviously that's been their biggest challenge. They got a good defense. They got a good running game. They have not been able to get the quarterback position right. Which quarterback gives them the best chance against the Cowboys? Carson Wentz, Taylor Heineke. They've also thrown out now that maybe Sam Howell even plays some this week.
Yeah.
Who gives them the best chance against the Cowboys?
Sam Howell does. Sam Howell actually does give them the best chance. And I'll tell you this, because I've seen him in college at North Carolina, and he was drafted in the fifth round. And you watched him in the preseason this year, and I was surprised. I was really, really surprised that they didn't. The only reason I think he didn't play is because they went and got Carson Wentz. You know, and then they started off, you know, the way they did and all that. Sam Howell's a damn good football player. He's a good quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays in this game, because with him, the ball goes down the field. He's super mobile. They can run the option stuff with him. He hits in underneath routes. He can throw the screens. He's got touch. I don't know why they didn't. Like I say, Carson Wentz. I get it. They made their bed with Carson Wentz, and they had to sleep in it. He's the reason why they lost the game last week. His throws. Carson Wentz has turned into a guy that just will throw it to a spot and hope for the best. And they've got talented receivers, McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel. All these guys can catch the football. All these guys can get open. They need somebody, and they're winning games a little bit because their defense is really good. I think their defense is good. I think their front seven's really good. But they were winning games because they were keeping it close, and Heinicke wasn't messing up the games. Well, now he's messing up the games. So now they got to figure these things out. Well, it's too late. It's too late. They're done. Sam Howell's going to show you something in this football game if you're the Cowboys. And when he plays, I'm looking forward to because I think he throws the ball better than the two other quarterbacks they have. Like I say, more accurate, more down the field.
So they're going to start him?
I don't think so. I think they're going to start Taylor Heinicke and switch him up.
And
so,
this is one where I get a little worried about that just because like there is no book on Sam Howell yet. And as we know in the NFL,
preseason games you can watch.
And
I know it's preseason, but you could watch and you could go, huh. Oh, okay, I see. And I was, like I say, I know people there at the Commanders, and I was talking to them, like, why don't you guys play Howell? And they go, well, we got Wentz. And I'm like, why? Don't you? I mean, this guy's better. He's a better player. And they're like, well, you know, I feel like they stole him in the fifth round. Yeah. I know me personally. When he was drafted and we were doing the draft show that day, and I'm like, hey, they got a guy here. He took the heat for everything. That was a first-round quarterback until his senior year at North Carolina. First-round quarterback. And then all of a sudden they had a 500 season, and everybody blamed him for that. They had anything around him that was any good. And so now he's, you know, Dallas is going to have to be on their game when he's in the football game. I believe that.
Yeah,
just watching him play.
I think I remember the story. I might have said this with last time we played Washington. I think the story goes is Jerry really wanted Sam Williams, obviously, in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys were looking at a tight end, I think, by the name of McBride from the Colorado State.
Yeah.
Maybe. They really liked him. And they ended up, you know, Jerry wins. And it's been a good pick. Sam Williams has been a good pick. In the fourth round, they had to get the tight end. I mean, McCarthy's like, oh, you got to get me Ferguson here.
Yeah.
Sam Howell was the guy they really wanted to take in the fourth round. Yeah. Quarterback there, they really wanted to get him. And then they had those fifth-round picks, but I think Washington's picks were
earlier.
Both of their first two. And they got, well, let's go, and I believe Bland.
Yeah.
And then they got a couple guys at the end, Ridgeway and Clark. But they really wanted Sam Howell. Wow.
I'm just saying.
But it was because of those dominoes effect, they really couldn't do it.
The only thing I'd like to say, to me, I don't think the game is going to be too big for Sam Howell. It depends on can they get the running game going, and the thing you didn't see the first time around was Brian Robinson, the running back from who was shot through the leg. He didn't play against you the first time. He is a really
so cavalier. Like,
he did. He got shot through the leg. He did. It was a terrible situation.
It's not funny. It's just the way you said it was just like, oh, he had a hamstring. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah. It was but he could really run the ball. Antonio Gibson's been nicked up, so Jonathan Williams is the other back that they've been kind of used. But their offensive line, like I say, this offensive line, Trey Turner at guard number 53 is the guy I think you go after in this game. If you go after a tackle, it's Charles Leno at the left side. So we'll see how they move Micah and others around to play this game. But they have a weakness at Turner at guard, and Leno at the tackle. But you better be able to kind of cover McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuel. All these cats can make some plays.
So for fans that may not have seen Brian Robinson play, what's his game like?
His game,
as a runner?
He's one of those guys that when you watched him play when he came out of Alabama, he was like an attack the line guy. I mean, it's like they hand him – it's sometimes, like you say, you get these shotguns, you hand the ball to a guy, and he kind of goes sideways. This guy takes the ball and goes downhill, I mean, fast. And so he's a big guy. And so now he's bouncing off guys, spinning off guys, grabbing the corner. This team, it's. I know they're out of it. This has to be one of the most if they would have figured out the quarterback situation, if they would have figured it out, they would be the sixth seed in this thing.
Yeah,
or they might even be competing. They threw away some games.
They got talent. There's no doubt they got talent.
They've done a great job of adding players. And people, well, they're 7-7-1, Brian. What the hell? You know, I'm like, you know what? Or 7-8, whatever. I'm just telling you, man. They've got players, and if their heads are screwed on right for this football game, they're going to make it a hard game. Now, if they've got one foot in the parking lot and they're interested in, like, you know, we're not going to play everybody and all that, by all means, go for it. Go get a win. But if these guys want to play, I think it's going to be a really, really close game. I really do. I think it's they're going to challenge you with their skill guys on that offense. They're going to challenge you at tight end. They're going to challenge you with Robinson running the ball downhill, throwing the screens to him. Everything, you know, they're going to do everything they can to kind of get their offense going. And maybe, like I say, maybe Howell is this guy that comes in and all of a sudden it's like the last game of the year and they're like, wow, we've got a guy. I thought in the preseason they had a guy. But Brian Robinson, to answer your question, Derek, I'm sorry I was jumping all over the place.
No, all good.
6'2", 228 pounds. He brings it every single time he carries the ball.
We're going to go to our final break when we come back. We have a few more questions regarding this matchup, Washington offense versus Dallas defense. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Visit your local Dallas Cowboys Pro Shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience. Grab some Cowboys Nation-worthy hoodies, tees, accessories, and more.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Break Life in SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star.
We still voting for Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, you can always vote for Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs...
Fan of the year, Jimmy?
He needs your help. Yeah. That's a more of a Tuesday read.
Oh, that's a Tuesday read. Okay.
Yeah, but I'll tell you...
I'm trying to take all this over.
He'll take some votes on Wednesday, though.
Yeah.
James Wright, for your 2022 Cowboys Fan of the Year. You can go vote NFL.com.
Go get him, Jimmy.
Awesome. We got an additional read there. Look at Brian. He just kind of gave everybody
trying to help
extra.
Jimmy, you know.
I'm sure our marketing department is very happy about that we gave him an extra shout.
We have a show on Monday, so.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Good point. We kind of filling in. All right, let's get back to this matchup, Cowboys.
I don't want to see that Buccaneers guy win it. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to help Jimmy here.
Versus the Commanders offense. Terry McLaurin, Major you mentioned Teddy. Him. You mentioned Terry McLaurin a little earlier.
I do.
Terry McLaurin is a really good receiver. He does not kill the Cowboys very often.
He does not.
My assumption is going into this game.
He's
this
not going to kill him
games,
again?
This is one of those games where you say, hey, Diggs, go make sure he doesn't do anything bad to us. If they go that route, who is the other receiver on this team or who is the next receiver on this team that you would look at and say, this is the guy you got to be worried about, especially knowing the challenges the Cowboys have had in the secondary?
Dotson. Jahan Dotson. Yeah, the rookie from Penn State. And he's the guy. Guess what they can do? Him and Curtis Samuel, they can move those guys kind of all over the place. Dotson's a guy that their game plan and watching how they played. I was prepping this week thinking that maybe that Carson Wentz might be the quarterback. So I went back and watched the Commanders game from week 4. And remember, that thing was ball out quick, mm-hmm. screens, things like that. Might see somewhat of a similar game plan. They ran the ball, I thought, pretty well effectively. And then all of a sudden they got into some – holding calls and penalties set him back. They had a couple of sacks that set him back. So, but yeah, I would worry about Jahan Dotson, because what he is he can go vertical on you. And so now will you challenge Wright and Bland and others with some of those deep shots? I kind of have a feeling that they might take a couple of those on you.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at that team, I do think, you know, McLaurin's their main guy. But for some reason, he just hasn't been – maybe it's the quarterbacks, yeah, you know, back and forth. But, like, he's got a lot of yards this year. Very sneaky, though, because he has big games.
If you said, Brian, give me one of the most underrated players in the National Football League, I'd say Terry McLaurin every time. Because what happens is – we're watching highlights and, gosh, McLaurin had another catch. Oh, yeah. Yep. And then you look at the stats and like, oh, he had five catches for 106 yards and a touchdown. And you're like going, okay. And then he could catch the ball on all levels. But he is one of the most underrated. But you're right. Against the Cowboys, it's kind of like he sees Diggs and he kind of like, ooh, I don't know. But yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they try and take him out of this football game. And it might be with Diggs, you know, traveling with them. They're gonna have to do something. I don't want this to be the game where all of a sudden he ends up with 148 and two touchdowns and something like that.
Yeah, you know, like when you said two quarterbacks and one of them being a running quarterback, it reminded me of what Houston did. You know, Houston came in and maybe did something that they haven't seen. But, you know, I still think at the end of the day, I mean, I think I'll take my chances against a rookie quarterback that's never played. I mean, he's obviously got some skill, but there's a reason he went in the fifth round. There's a reason he hadn't played yet. I'll take my chances.
I would worry only on the level of this, and I totally get what you're saying. With, like, I know that Jarrett Stidham last week for the Raiders played against the 49ers, and the 49ers really didn't have a – they're like, whoa, what's going – the guy threw for like three-something, you know. Yeah. I mean, and all of a sudden you don't have tape on a guy, you're not really sure, and all of a sudden the guy gets hot, he starts finding receivers. All of a sudden you're like going, wow, we're not covering very well today, and we're not getting any pass rush.
Minshew did that to the Cowboys. Yeah. The Saints had some tape on him. Yeah. He didn't look the same. Yeah. So, it happened.
And that's the part that worries you. Like, you just don't have the tape. Like, you just don't know their kryptonite. That's the thing. Like, you might be able to see a couple things from the preseason, but you don't know what it is they don't want to do.
I just kind of take that away. I'm being really bullish on Sam Howell because I know what I saw at North Carolina, and I know what a veteran college quarterback. I mean, Mitch Trubisky in North Carolina was a one-year guy. And you're watching, you're like, oh, Mitch Trubisky. And he gets picked third overall. This guy played a ton more games at North Carolina. And so now your experience, and then you saw stuff in the preseason, and maybe it's like a little bit like what we saw several when Cooper Rush first came in the league. And Cooper Rush was like leading the NFL in the preseason for passing, you know, I mean, like ratings and all that stuff. And you're like going, oh, man, maybe this Cooper Rush just got something here. Sam Howell is just, to me, when you watch the body of work at him, the mistakes that the Commanders have made is they went and got Carson Wentz. Yeah. That's the mistake. You know, if they could have rode with Howell and Heinicke, you know, maybe they would be in the playoffs. You know, maybe they would be in the playoffs. This team is just too talented not to be in the playoffs. I mean, I'm just looking at it going, you know, they had a chance. I mean, they had the Giants. They had the Giants beat, and, you know, the officials, we always talk about that. Take that game away from them.
Yeah, I just saw this tweet on Twitter. Nikki Havala, I hope I pronounced that correctly. She is a reporter that covers the Commanders. Her tweet was Sam Howell's taking the first team reps in practice.
There you go.
So maybe this is a week where they feel like they're looking at next year, obviously. Sure. And so this
She's
might
a reporter
be
reporter for who?
She is a reporter, Washington NFL reporter for the Washington Post.
Okay.
Why?
No, I'm
you just, know her?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm just curious. Like,
she was previously with The Athletic.
Okay.
And the Denver Post and New York Times.
Obviously not with WashingtonCommanders.com. And so I was just wondering if that tweet came out of here of so-and-so is taking first-team reps.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we'd have you know, meetings in the hallway.
Some problems.
Yeah, there'd be some problems. I'm just kind of curious.
Because just for those out there listening, the local reporters are not supposed to give away this kind of stuff from what they see in practice now. Sometimes it happens, but you're not supposed to.
Well, I was going to ask, you mentioned Houston, and I remember for that game that the Cowboys did struggle with the quarterback situation. Yeah. It just took them by surprise. But I don't remember, were we expecting that week for two quarterbacks to play?
No. Because they called him up off the practice squad on a like Friday.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that they practice him all week, and then all of a sudden they elevate him right before the game. So you're just thinking, well, maybe it's an injury concern. Maybe it's an injury.
Right. It happened. So it was complete. Yeah, that's the part I couldn't remember, if it was completely by surprise, because at least the difference here is, like, you already know. You know kind of what's about to happen this weekend.
If person's going to get a phone call, probably.
Well, either that or Nikki knows, A, they're selling the team. Right. B, the head coach really is going to get fired.
Or nobody will notice.
And C, like, it's the last game of the year, and she's, like, firing the last shot. You know? Nikki's got this thing lined up down there. She's got it all figured out. Nobody, like, you're going to yell at me, you're selling the team. Okay? Go worry about...
Y'all got other problems.
Go worry about Commander Tutty or whatever that thing is over there you're dealing with.
Commander Tutty.
What is that?
Major Tutty.
Major Tutty.
I love the name Major Tutty, by the way.
I do not like it at all. It makes me think of something else.
It makes me think of a grocery store.
Why a grocery store?
Were we talking about the pig?
Yeah.
They're like Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly.
You ever seen
that goes way back.
Yeah. All right,
that
go
doesn't
way
still
back.
Exist, does it?
I don't know. Maybe it
they had a logo, their face, the logo was Major Tutty. The logo was
basically they just stole Major Tutty from Piggly Wiggly.
Did they just announce this? Like,
I think it just came out.
It debuted last week.
Last week?
There's nothing.
Why?
The Commanders.
I don't know. And the funny thing is, they only scored one Tutty last week.
The Commanders.
It's not a Major Tutty when you only score one.
Let's talk
Nobody said the Commanders' timing is any good.
Can we talk about something that's really, really important here?
Don't kick them while they're down.
Seriously, I got a legitimate question. What benches are we going to have for this game? Are we bringing our own? I mean,
that's interesting because nobody's ever had that. We haven't really had that conversation in a while, have we?
I mean, we got new benches. Did we keep them?
Are they still stored somewhere?
I think they rented them.
Reston, Virginia or something? Like,
yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I actually asked Todd Williams this question.
Because he would know.
He goes, well, first of all, if we do bring our own benches, we're not allowed to put logos on them. So I don't know.
Okay. So we won't be able to really tell, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be able to tell.
The pettiness of Washington to come back and do it in the dome, in the 72-degree, where we're bringing,
of a brand new stadium,
we're bringing
by the way.
Our benches. It's like, oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. You won.
I want you guys to get a picture with Commander Tutty.
I will not.
I want to see a picture with Commander Tutty.
Amber,
come
go
on,
for
Nick.
It.
You can do it. Nick, you can do it.
Just take one.
Yeah, just like walk up next to him and give him the Piggly Wiggly sign.
What exactly is the Piggly Wiggly sign? Like,
do your nose up. Get him to go like, oh.
Well, we're doing that. We're doing that anyway.
Right? We're all about
maybe
bits.
We'll bring Rowdy with us. Yeah.
My man, Rowdy has never looked so good.
I know, right?
They throw him
hey,
out
I'm
there.
Telling you what, though. There's been a lot in college football mascot crime on each other. Have you seen some of these things?
Like they're attacking each other?
Yes. Like
fighting with each other.
Fighting with, like, the Arizona, like, the Sun Devil guy beating up on the duck, knocking his head off and stuff like that.
Everybody
it's crazy.
Wants to fight the duck all the time.
Why, is the duck just a problem?
I don't know.
The duck is an
it
issue.
It happened 15 years ago. There's one on YouTube. I think it was Houston and Oregon. Mm-hmm. The cougar and the duck.
Yeah.
They're really going at it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a thing. Like,
full costume.
Yes. Like on the and you think, you know, because the smile never goes away. So you think it's as fun, you know. And then when the other cheerleaders have to get involved and like, whoa. And then the mascot comes up. They're trying to take it off, you know. Like
Gal's got her megaphone hitting the guy in the back of the head with the costume on and stuff. But yeah, there's been a lot of mascot crime going on.
So basically what we're setting up here is, do you think Rowdy
could take Major Tutty?
Yeah, but
I'm guessing so, right?
Yeah.
I think Rowdy is more athletic.
Yeah.
Especially if he uses his T-shirt gun. I've seen him use that and hit people with
it
before.
We've fallen so far.
San Antonio, Nick?
We've fallen so far.
Not good.
It's a good way to end the show.
It really is. Thank you guys for joining us.
Blocks, field goals, whatever Rowdy has to do.
I apologize for the final 5 minutes of today's
episode. Great Rowdy
stories.
Let's not act like there are not some great Rowdy stories out there.
Oh my God! He tripped the kicker of the Vikings. Like
Mitch Berger.
Yeah, he tripped him.
He blocked. He blocked the kick.
Good old Rowdy. All right. We appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll get into the Washington defense versus the Cowboys offense.
So Major Nick Tutty. Eatman,
Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!